This is Current State on WKAR. From ancient and modern Greece to the Holy Land, for Christians around the world, this weekend is the culmination of Holy Week, marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every year, Lansing's Cristo Rey Church marks Good Friday by reenacting the Stations of the Cross. For Catholics, the 14 stations commemorate Christ's last day on earth as a man. The Lansing reenactment started at the state capitol at noon on Good Friday and then moved to Cristo Rey Community Center on High Street. MSU junior Jose Gallo has portrayed Jesus since he was a freshman at Lansing Eastern High School. Before that, he played one of the soldiers tormenting Jesus. Gallo tells WKAR Scott Pohl how he uses the Lenten season to prepare for Good Friday.
I use that as a time of meditation, and during Lent, we have to give up something. So every year I give up red meat in general. And so I just begin to think of what type of emotions Jesus went through in that time, what his reasonings were, why he did it. Obviously, he knew what was going to occur and what he had to do. So I try to get my emotions to be similar to that. Obviously, it will never be anything close to being what he felt, but try my best to portray that.
Do you feel like an actor when you're doing this?
Yeah, I feel like, obviously I'm not Jesus, so I try my best, and I think throughout that time that I set for my meditation and trying to feel exactly what he went through, I feel like I do a really good job in putting my feet in his shoes.
While you're doing this, are you able to observe passersby? And there are two sets of people, I assume, some people who are there on purpose to see you and others who just happen to be there accidentally. Are you able to see the people you go by and their reactions?
Yeah. So when we're walking down and the soldiers are striking me, at first we start with, you know, you can hit a little but you hear the noises, you hear my screaming, and people that you pass are just like, oh my goodness, like, is this legitimate? Some, you know, especially people who aren't raised with a Catholic background or a Christian background and have no idea what this is, they might just think this guy is going through something. So a lot of people act very surprised, and even our people in our crowd that actually come to see us, they cry just because I'll even have tears in my eyes. And that's just how much I prepare for that role.
You've done this 6 times now. This will be your 7th. How, if in any way, have you been changed by portraying Jesus?
It's made me a better man, and that's for sure. I legitimately don't do things as I used to. I've grown a lot to be more Christian-like, and being in this, I get more involved in church. I've always been extremely involved with my community, but now I'm just more involved, and that means helping the youth follow my footsteps as well.
Catholics observe the steps of the Stations of the Cross. Can you explain how that plays out in this march from the Capitol to the Cristo Rey Center? Do you make stops and observe stop 1, stop 2, stop 3 of the stations?
Yeah, so, yep. So we will have stations 1 through 14. And so each station, the first station is when they bring me up to the steps. And that's when they beat me. Second station, they give me my purple robe, the throne on my head, my cross. And then throughout that process is when he falls for the first time, when he meets the woman of Jerusalem, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone will get the story and exactly on how it went.
Jose, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.
Thank you.
The Wharton Center welcomes a rarity to its stage this week, a national tour not of a musical, but of a play. WKAR's Jamie Paisley explores the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
It won 5 Tony Awards, including Best Play in 2015, and the first national tour of this play with the great title of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime charts its way to the Wharton Center in East Lansing this week. It centers around Christopher, a 15-year-old with autism spectrum disorder who is trying to solve the mystery of what happened to a neighbor's dog. Along the way, Christopher is guided by Siobhan, who is played by Broadway veteran Maria Elena Ramirez. Maria Elena read the original novel of the same title by Mark Haddon, but didn't have much to go on from the source material.
She isn't spoken a lot about in the book. You can tell that she's very much a presence in his life, but she doesn't play a huge part in the book. But what Simon Stevens, the playwright, has done is sort of turn that around and made Siobhan the narrator of the show. And so she sort of opens up the story to the audience. And also at times, you know, not only is she his teacher, but she is sometimes goes within Christopher's mind to express the things that he can't express.
Also helping Christopher in the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime is an amazing set, which looks a bit like graph paper, but it hides secrets.
It's a black box grid, so it looks pretty simple. But within it, it's filled with diodes and lighting design, and it sort of has a life of its own. It sort of lights up in many different ways. It's really supposed to be within his mind. It's sort of, you know, he's a very mathematical. He's a math genius, sees the world in a very precise manner. So it's really a reflection of that and is plain enough to take us to just all different sorts of places and spaces. It looks very simple on the onset. And as the play goes along, you're going to see that it provides sort of different things for Christopher to play off of and to get, you know, things that he needs. They appear from the set. Yeah.
In both Mark Haddon's original book and the play of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which arrives at the Wharton Center this week, the main character of Christopher is undiagnosed but clearly somewhere on the line of autism spectrum disorder.
We see Christopher as this incredibly unique, wonderful young man.
Adam Langdon plays Christopher.
The play celebrates difference. You know, Christopher is different, but he's also like any other 15-year-old boy that I've ever known. You know, when his dad says something stupid, he's annoyed. He can use sarcasm like anyone else. He doesn't like it, but he knows what it is.
And as the character of Christopher explores his mathematics-centric world, we see his motion and thought processes while being aided by the set and the fellow cast members. As a result, actor Adam Langdon is required to be sometimes physically thrown about.
At the beginning, it was the part of the show I was most scared of. It was the reason why I didn't think I could ever play the part. I'm just like this skinny kid, you know, from Brooklyn. I was just like, no. But Christopher requires bravery of all the actors within the play. And so when I remember I'm like kneeling on two people's shoulders and have to fall backwards, I was like, the way I'm going to get through this is like, I got to be brave for him. He needs me to be brave, so I've got to do it. And now it's part of the show that I look forward to most, all the physical stuff. It's so awesome. It's something I never thought I could do, and now I get to do it 5 nights a week for a year of my life. Wow. How lucky am I?
Adam Langdon and Maria Elena Ramirez star in the Tony-winning play The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at the Wharton Center in residency this week. Head to WKAR.org to find links and more information about this production. For WKAR, I'm Jamie Paisley.
Its current state on WKAR. This is Current State on WKAR. Baseball season is well underway across our region and across the country. Today's baseball bears little resemblance to the 19th century variety, especially when it comes to the pro players. The differences are on display at the game of historic baseball played at Dearborn's Greenfield Village, where I got to experience a little bit of living history. It's a perfect summer afternoon in Michigan. 85 degrees, low humidity, bright blue sky, a few puffy clouds. And on a grassy hill under the shade of towering oaks and locust trees, I'm watching a baseball game. Historic baseball, played every weekend at 1:30 into August at Dearborn's Greenfield Village. The two resident teams are playing today. It's the Nationals versus the La-Di-Das. Historic baseball seasons culminate in a championship series at season's end. Marcus Dixon has been an umpire in past championship games at the Village.
So we have teams who are playing baseball the way it was played in 1867, with the equipment, with the rules, with the uniforms, to try to recreate the game in the days before there was professional baseball, when it was an amateur game, my town against your town for the glory and honor of our town.
Historic baseball at Greenfield Village is a time machine. Players wear period button-up long-sleeve uniforms, sleeves rolled up today, with apologies to the ladies. They play by 1867 rules, like balls played off branches hanging over fair territory, and outs called when caught off the first bounce, when it's foul. Don't worry, the players will get it right. More on that later. There's no pitcher's mound, and gloves are optional, not preferred. But Marcus Dixon feels the appeal of historic baseball goes much deeper.
Historic baseball is not just old rules, it's not just old equipment, it's also taking you to a different time when the world was different. The way that people thought about honesty, the way that people thought about competition was different. The games were played hard, the clubs who played wanted to win, but they certainly wanted to win fairly. It's really interesting when people do come to see a historic baseball game, how quickly they become attached to the game. I can't count the number of times someone has said to me, this is so much more fun than going to see a major league game. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that the game is exciting. They say people who are playing not because they're being paid millions of dollars, but because they really, really love this game.
Dixon continues to explore historic baseball's creed of fair play. This time I caught him between innings taking a break from his La-Di-Da's catcher's position.
The things that are appealing to me most of all is that this is a game where you're expected to play fairly. If you know you're out, you leave the field. If you know you're not out and the umpire calls you out, you tip your hat and you leave the field. And if you were to not do that, if you were to know that you were out and stay on the field, people wouldn't want you to play. This is a game where in the championship game in the World Tournament, there was a play where the umpire called a runner out on first, and the first baseman said, no, sir, the throw pulled my foot off the base. My foot was not on the base. The runner was not out. In the championship game. And everybody said, that's exactly the right thing to do. And so that's the kind of game I want to play.
That guy in the background with the running color commentary is Ken Jacobs. He's wearing a white shirt and floppy black bow tie, light gray trousers and vest, and a cream-colored stovepipe hat, sort of a huskier Abe Lincoln in negative. You can hear Ken all across the field. There's a speaker hidden in a wooden box that looks sort of like it might cover an old well or something. He's another guy that has the game deep in his DNA. And as a bonus, Ken is funny.
One down. Mr. Robert just kind of slowed down there. I don't thought he was going to throw, but I think he would look more like modern dancing or something.
As Greenfield Village's steam locomotive passes by, players stop in mid-inning for huzzas to the Iron Horse. This happens a few times every game. Announcer Ken Jacobs has played other roles on the historic baseball field. In this case, he runs our time machine from the 1860s to about 1912. Ken takes the field for a pre-game speech, this time wearing a dark gray suit and round spectacles. His character this time, Teddy Roosevelt.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love this game of baseball, and I'm honored that the National League and the American League have honored me with a golden pass to go and see their games anytime. But I'd rather see fellas like this. You know, my sons Kermit and Quentin play on the White House lawn occasionally, or they did when we were in the White House, and we hope we're going to be back there soon. And I'm glad to report 23-4 was the score for Quinton's team and Kermit's team. We were honored to win right there on the White House lawn. Now, I'm more of a boxer myself. I'm in it for the fight. And I'll tell you what, we have an election in front of us for 12, and I hope you'll be in it for the fight and vote for the Bull Moose Party, fellas, so we can get all these ladies to vote for us in 16 when we win women's suffrage.
After the fifth inning, I also had a chance to speak with one of the guys on the other team, the Nationals. Jack Spiteman got into the historic game a few years back. He plays outfield.
A friend that I played softball with got on the year before, and he let me know that they had an opening. I came and tried out and got on the team. You really have to have two things to play. You have to know how to play baseball, but the most important thing is to be able to interact with the crowd.
Well, we finished. The Dodgers crowd,
because what we want to do is have an instructional here. Teach people about the way baseball was played back in 1867 and the different rules and how they're different from today. And it's such a great environment with, you know, being here at Greenfield Village, the history they have. So,
the history and the ways of days gone by, says Jack Spiteman, far removed from scenes like this. What many consider one of the game's most calculating and controversial acts, the Pine Tar incident, which started with a home run by a Hall of Famer.
George Brett has just homered, and Billy Martin and the Yankees want the bat. Look at Martin.
Well, what they're talking about, Frank, is that he's got too much pine tar, and you've got to have a certain amount of distance from the trademark of the bat and the pine tar. They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, the Yankees win. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's steaming mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
From George Brett and Billy Martin, back to Jack Spiteman.
Honestly, what I like is it's a gentleman's game. We're on our honor out there. If you make a catch, if you tag somebody out, you know, you state that, and generally people agree. We're playing, you know, we're not playing for money. We're playing for the love of the game, for the sport. Like I said, it's a gentleman's game. We play a full nine innings because it would be ungentlemanly to quit in the ninth inning, okay, that kind of thing. And it's just kind of lacking in today's society. Honestly, I really enjoy, and I enjoy the exercise, obviously, the chance that I can get out here and play. And I have to get out there and play left field again.
I'll talk to you later.
This year's World Tournament of Historic Baseball is Saturday and Sunday, August 13th and 14th at Greenfield Village. For Current State, I'm Peter Wharf.
Well, they go for the fourth out, but they really don't need it. Our progress of our game stopped by progress out there. Let's give them three cheers and get them on their way. Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!